What is man? If you would, turn to Psalms chapter 8. I have been fighting my computer. My PowerPoint takes like literally 3 minutes between each thing that I tell it to do. So this is going to be very minimal. I wasn't even going to do this, but very minimal. I'll be putting some things on the board. And tonight, Lord willing, or this afternoon, we'll be looking at the topic, overcoming bad habits, though I'm sure none of you, not one person out here probably has any kind of bad habits. But if you do, we're going to be looking at that, because I know I do, looking at some things that we can do to fight that. And I hope that all will be back for that. Psalms chapter 8. What is man? Yahweh our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Because of your adversaries, you have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you remember him? The son of man that you look after him? You have made him a little less than the gods. Or as the New King James and New and the King James says, you have made him a little less than angels. And you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him Lord over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as the animals in the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Yahweh our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. I have a lot of material that I would like to talk about in this, with this particular lesson, but I'm not going to do all that. Maybe in the future, it's in my future lessons folder, which keeps getting bigger and bigger. But in this beautiful expression of praise to God, a psalm that tells us that David wrote, David just stands amazed. And I can picture David as a shepherd out in those fields and out there where the moon and the stars just are on top of you. He's amazed at God of creation, at everything he looks at, and the great and the glorious Yahweh himself would pay any attention or the great amount of attention to such a frail, weak people that we are, that he was. David certainly understood and wrote about how God glorifies himself in the heavens. But how? How does God glorify? How can he glorify himself through me, through you, through people that are as weak as we are in the sin that's in our lives? The question that David asked is, what is man? That answer is ultimately comes through the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Those verses 4 through 6 there. What is man that you remember him? The son of man that you look after him? You made him a little less than angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him Lord over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. The rhetorical question is, what is man? And the role that God has given man within that created order, it expresses amazement. He's so amazed that God would think or look after us, the creatures that are so weak and small. But we also see here Son of Man being mentioned. It shows that the Messiah's exaltation comes after a period of time than when he himself was a little lower than angels. When we're tempted to think more or less of ourselves than we should, this morning we talked about how Satan tries to get us to think less of ourselves and give up. Well, in the same manner, he also comes after us to think of ourselves more than we should and puff us up. Well, anytime we're tempted to think just in an honest way of living life that ourselves are less than we should or greater than we should, we need to think how great God is. How great thou art in all that he's made. And he's made us in his image. Let's go to a passage we all know, but let's read it in Genesis 1. Verse 26 beginning. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us. And of course, we know there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. What is man that he has given all of this? He's given all of this. He's made us in his image, and he's created all those wondrous things for us to be over. Look at back at Psalms 8. Go back to Psalms 8. And I want you to take a look at verse 1 and verse 9. Verse 1, Yahweh our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Verse 9, Yahweh our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. It is bookend with Yahweh, Jehovah, God, the Father, our Lord. How magnificent is your name throughout the earth. That begins that way and it ends that way. And then the centerpiece of this psalm is Yahweh's greatest creation, mankind. Understand, it's not mankind, but God's greatest creation, mankind. And we, as men, as man, have physical bodies and at the same time, we are spirit. We have a spirit being. We are a spirit being. We're made in the image of God. Angels are only spirits. Animals are only bodies. That makes us very unique. We're created to honor and glorify Yahweh, our Maker. Let's see here. You can turn to Hebrews 2. In fact, do turn to Hebrews 2. We might read a little more than what I put on the board. I can't remember. When we see Psalms 8, 4 to 6, what is man that you take thought of him, and that the son of man that you care for him? You've made him lower than God or the angels, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. And that Hebrew writer quotes this passage here, and it applies it to Jesus, but he's also talking about the position of the human race in general. The psalmist is amazed that God pays so much attention to man. Why us? Why us? When we look at Hebrews 2, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. And that is why you see the King James and the New King James use angels, because that is what the Hebrews uses. And the word that's used, lower than God, is Elohim, and one of the meanings of that can be messenger. And so you've made him lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, set him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet. For that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So we see here the attention that's made to man and the Son of Man. The psalmist, as I said, is so amazed. Why? Why us? We're made lower than the angels. And Jesus himself, for a period of time, was lower than angels. What does that mean? That we're lower than angels. That's what we want to look at. In many ways, everybody done with this screen? That one I got made easy. In many ways, it seems that we're greater than angels. Angels are not made in the image of Yahweh. We are. Jesus did not come and die for angels. He came and died for you and me. Heaven is prepared for us. Even the angels long to know what Yahweh was doing with us in that plan. He put man in charge of his creation. Man had dominion over the created world, not the angels. From Psalms 8 and from other passages, man seems to be the centerpiece of Yahweh's creation. Jesus became a man, not an angel. The Bible even states that angels serve God's people. They are considered to be ministering spirits who provide service to those who are able to inherit salvation. We don't serve angels. They serve us. So in many ways, it seems that we are greater than angels, so to speak. Yet our very verse here states that we are made a little lower than the angels. So how is that? And when you start studying about angels, it's so amazing what you don't know, what you're not going to find out. There's so many questions, I should say, that don't really have an answer, and sometimes not having an answer, I don't know, it's interesting, and that's some material that I would like to share sometime here. But how is it that we're made a little lower than angels? Well, first, angels seem to be ageless. We have two angels that are given names that we see in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Gabriel, we see in the book of Daniel, and also Luke. Michael, we see the archangel. We see him also in Daniel and in Jude and in the book of Revelation. Well, that covers a long period of time. Man, the years wears us out. We have glasses, hearing aids, hip and knee replacements. We wear down. We wear out. But not angels. And angels are spirits. The world has the view of angels as humans with wings or fat babies with wings. That's what you see so much. You see a fat baby with wings, and that's an angel, or a human with wings. A few times angels took on the form of humans, such as visiting Abraham, but most of the time they're spiritual beings and not seen. They're not subject to the needs and the circumstances of the physical world, because you and I, we get tired. We get hungry. The weather affects us. We get sore throats. Get achy muscles. We get feet that can't allow a person to attend, and a back that can't allow a person to attend. But, you know, we have to get up and go to work and go to school to survive in this world. We have to go to gas station and pay a fortune to fill our tanks up. We have to pay bills, mow the yards. We go to doctors and a zillion other things which we call life. Spirits don't get hungry or sleepy. They're not bothered by the weather. They're spirits. They're ageless. And they do not die. We do. Although we have a spirit within us that will live on. That's why I chose that song. We sing the song, I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. When my body's laying in a cold, cold clay, I live on. But the body dies. We have different stages in life, right? We're born immature. We're born where we're not able to speak or even know our name. It takes time to learn. Growth is a process. Just as faith is a process. But faith is necessary for us to know and to trust God. There's nothing in Scripture that makes us think that angels go through this growth process like we do. And the fourth here, ageless spirits, they don't die. And who does Satan attack? Angels or men? The Bible talks about angels who sin in 2 Peter 2:4, Jude 6, Matthew 25:41, John 8:44, Revelation 20 and verse 10. In Job, we find Satan roaming around the earth. In Revelation 12, we see Satan making war with the children of God. He tried his best to defeat Jesus, to defeat his people in the Old Testament. He thought he had it when he got Christ on the cross and died, but Jesus overcame death. Revelation 12 says he paid the price once and for all. And Satan could not go to God and complain anymore. This person sinned, but you took him, because Jesus paid the price. So with a fury and a wrath of hatred, he comes and tries to destroy the church, but he was not able. So what does he do now? The adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's real, folks. That is what Satan does. He's attacking man. We don't see him roaming and going and attacking angels. They're directed at you and me. He's after us. He's seeking to devour us. And he's done a pretty good job, hasn't he? In this world. His focus isn't on angels. That's why we need help. That's why God has done all that he has and continues. He sent Jesus in the form of what? Man. He left his word as footprints for us to follow. He's throwing a rope to us to rescue us. We need it because on our own we're doomed. So why is it so many people ignore this? Why is it so many people ignore His word? Why do so many people just take what someone else has to say? Why is it that they won't accept being rescued? That's one of the lessons that I want to do at some point in time. And I asked Jeremy to share some of his thoughts on him looking to rescue someone and they won't accept it. Why is it that God sends the Creator to this earth and we see what He's all gone through and people still ignore that? Are we lower than angels? Yes. But someday we will be in heaven. One day we will see God face to face. Change is coming. Things will only get better. Maybe not in this life, but yet again in this life. But definitely in the one to come. If we hold on to God, walk with Him, daily carrying His cross. In 1 John 3, 2-3 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Do we think about this passage? We don't know what we'll be like. We don't need to know, because He tells us we'll be like Christ. What is man? We're lower than angels, but yet we will be face to face. We'll be like Christ. We'll be with God. So David had it right when he wondered, who are we that God pays so much attention to? Why us? Why are we so special? What is man? Yes, lower than angels now, but getting the love, the care, the devotion of Yahweh, it is amazing. That's worth thinking. What is man? Well, God created us. We've read this, talked about it. Psalms 8. What's the other one I want on there? 5:8. Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty because of your adversaries. You have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy and the avenger. You made Him a little less than angels. He's created us. The phrase, our Lord, there in the first verse, is a threefold confession of faith. There is but one God. All people were created by that one God. The Jewish people in particular were His people and the sheep of His pasture. Psalms 100 verse 3. They can call Him our Lord. In Psalms 135, I'm going to read the verses 1 through 3 and then 19 to 20. Hallelujah, praise the name of Yahweh. Give praise, you servants of Yahweh, who stand in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise Yahweh, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is delightful. For Yahweh has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel as His treasured possession. For I know that Yahweh is great. Our Lord is greater than all gods. In verse 19, house of Israel, praise Yahweh. House of Aaron, praise Yahweh. House of Levi, praise Yahweh. You who revere the Lord, praise the Lord. May the Lord be praised from Zion. He dwells in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Those people, the people of Israel, could claim Him as their God. And there is but one God. And all people were created by that one God. However, Jehovah was not just a tribal God who belonged only to Israel. He wanted his name, his character, his reputation, his works to be known in all the earth. It was and it still is. Listen to Psalm 66, verses 1 to 4. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say to God, how awe-inspiring are your works. Your enemies will cringe before you because of your great strength. All the earth will worship you and sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. In Psalms 83 and verse 18, may they know that you alone, whose name is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. What is man? Well, the number one thing is created by the awesome God who's created and spoke everything. Not only has the Lord set his glory above the heavens, but he shared his glory with us, these creatures that he has created on earth. The glory of God dwelt with Israel in the tabernacle and the temple. And we have such colorful language showing that as the glory of God filling like the smoke and Aaron couldn't go in. But it's especially revealed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. John 1:14 was made flesh, and we saw that glory. And then wicked people crucified the Lord of glory, 1 Corinthians 2:8. But guess what? He was raised from the dead. He returned to heaven in such magnificent glory and great honor. Daniel 7, 13 and 14 is an awesome passage. Let's turn to that. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. As I've said many times, Acts 1:9, Jesus lifts up in front of those apostles to go to heaven. And here we see it from heaven's viewpoint. Verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came upon the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Think about Revelation 17, 14. Think about Revelation 7, when the countless people are there, along with angels, singing praises to God. Who is man? God created us. And Psalms, back to Psalms 8 and verse 2. I got my marker here. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Well, think about this. David moves from the preeminence, that surpassing of all others in verse 1. There's no one like him, to his eminence. And what do I mean by that? The best way I can define eminence is to read a couple passages. Jeremiah 23:23-24. Listen. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in his secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? That is imminence. And then Colossians 1:17, in Christ all things hold together. That is that imminence. So David moves from preeminence in verse 1 to his eminence. Yahweh is so great, he can entrust his praise to infants and children and still defeat the enemy and not be robbed of his glory. Jesus quotes verse 2 here after he cleanses the temple in Matthew 21:16. When you get down and think about it, words are sounds plus breath. They can be powerful, but in reality, they're weak. Yet words of praise, even from the mouths of children and nursing infants, can and will defeat God's enemy. Think of Moses. Think of Christ. Trying to kill all the baby boys. Moses, by God's protection, is kept alive. And he brings Egypt through God to their knees. Samuel, the birth of Samuel, is used by God to be the kingmaker that brings David to the throne. That birth leads to the birth of Jesus that brings salvation to the world. And let me tell you this, some of these things that took place there, angels were ministering and helping, and we have no idea what they did because we're not told, but we are told that they are ministering and working for God to get what he wants done. So we can't say what they did. Yeah, they were right here, there. We don't know that. We just know they're there. They're working, helping, doing what God wants them to do. Instruments for God is the best way of putting it. God definitely uses the weak and the helpless to praise him and defeat the enemies. When we look at verse 2 here. 1 Corinthians 1:24, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. In verse 30, by his doing, you are in Christ, who become to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What is man? God created us, but he also cares for us. Here to there. Three. You think about the daytime, the sun ruling the day. It's blinding light blocks out the things that we might see in the heavens. But what about at night? Let's read 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you cared for him? At night, we should be, and I know I am, overwhelmed by the display of God's creation. To see the stars and the planets, the galaxies, to see... I look up at them and I see little cluster of stars barely, and think about what it would look like to see it up close. You know, see all this. The other night I saw two falling stars. I was sitting out at the fire, and the second one, after Sherry and Amy had left, it was like in slow motion. You just seen the tail of the fire, and it just was just going right across in front of me. And thinking about this great creation. And so many people ignore that. They don't see that. They don't see the beauty and the glory of God's creation when it comes to a sunrise or a sunset. And the fact that we have so much knowledge of light years and how awesome and what appears to be endless creation should even give us more reason for appreciating our insignificance. What is man? What am I that you think so much of? What am I that you created? What am I that you care for? In his great love, the Lord chose the earth for himself. Psalms 24, 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. The Lord chose the earth for himself and he created us in his image. We're made a little lower than angels, but look at this. Look at what he's done for us. He spoke the world into existence. And David uses the colorful language of God's fingers and hands, the work of a master craftsman. Where's my mark? Number three. God crowns us. You have made him a little lower than angels. You crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. Why does God pay attention to man that's made of dust? Because he made them in his image. They are special to him. Through the exalted Christ, God's grace is reigning today. Romans 5:21 says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the exalted Christ, God's grace is reigning today so that God's children may reign in life through and in Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. By faith we see Jesus. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, let's begin verse 14. We read up there in verse 5 to 8, verse 9, and also 9, I believe. But verse 9 says, but we do not see him who was made for a little while lower than angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering and death, crowned with glory and honor, so that the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Here, this Son of Man, that's also mentioned in Psalms 8, and man, both of us, he became like man, and so for a little while, he also was lower than angels. Beginning in verse 14, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, who comes after us. And we had every right to be scared to death, as we say, if it wasn't for Christ, if it wasn't for God looking at who is man. Well, he created for us, he cares for us, and he will give us a crown if we are faithful. He sends his Son down to share in that, and he defeats Satan. Verse 15, and he might free those who through the fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. And if we are baptized into Christ, we are those spiritual descendants of Abraham. If you're not baptized into Christ this morning, you should fear death. If you're not faithful to Christ, you should fear death. Faithful to God, to Christ, you should fear death. He came to help us, not angels. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. What does propitiation mean? Generally, if you do something wrong, you buy the person a gift. You send flowers to your wife. This is where the person that was wronged sends flowers to the person that wronged them. We are the ones that nailed him to the cross. He is the one who gives us eternal life. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. So can't we say, and shouldn't we say, as the psalmist did, Yahweh our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. The psalm begins that way and it ends that way. In the middle is, what is man? What is the Son of Man? Pointing to that Messiah. Everything. This is three simple points, but this carries so much. Don't overlook it. Don't overlook the fact that he created us in his image. Don't overlook the fact that he cares for us and that he crowns us. And we were made a little lower than angels. So I would like to study a little bit more about angels and what we do know, just to see, just to put it in comparison. He made Christ a little lower than angels for a little while, Hebrews says. Now he's back in heaven, and that's where we're going. The song leader has selected 566.